And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Again, welcome aboard. So glad you can join me at this busy time of year. And I know you're kind of running to and fro. Well, I hope you'll stick with me for a part or all of the two-hour program. And let me just make a couple of, probably more than a couple of introductory comments here, and then I want to bring on a guest. And I don't want to call this a disclaimer, but I want to make a clarification. And that is, I don't always enjoy reporting on some things that I do. I do not look for controversy for the sake of controversy. There's much askew in the world and church today. As a matter of fact, America wouldn't be in the state that she is right now if the churches, the Christian colleges, seminaries, and more were much stronger. But many of these organizations have opted out to pursue risky things in the last 15 to 20 years, and this has created a climate of biblical illiteracy, which is at the root of all the problems we are going to talk about in the next couple of hours. I also am very mindful of the Bible verse that comes out of Ezekiel 33:6. Please forgive me as I paraphrase it. But it basically says, if the watchman sees trouble coming down the pike and doesn't sound the warning, the blood is on his or her hands. This first hour, that might be literal. Now, let me move into this first hour. Because 1 year ago, I did a program on Understanding the Times that I thought I would never do. I even apologized to you, my audience. And you told me very soundly that that was not needed. That is the apology. The world is getting curiouser and curiouser. And as they say in Alice's Wonderland, at least that's the quote from Alice's Wonderland. And quite frankly, I am beginning to think that's where we all live. Now, because many in the church say that certain things are just fine and that it won't hurt kids at all, we have a new battleground. We have a book series and movie series that is highly dangerous. And there are some, unfortunately, some good principles in it that that are being misused. We've heard that before. We heard that through the Harry Potter series that, well, the kids can learn, they weren't really saying this the way I'm saying it, but the kids can learn good from evil. They can learn good things from evil principles. And we're not talking about Harry Potter. That's not our topic. Okay, but that doesn't excuse the fact that this new twilight phenomenon, which is pure occult, yet the church is basically silent on this issue, or youth leaders are taking kids to see it so they can, quote, apply good words to the Twilight series of books and films. And a new film came out several weeks ago now, and it makes the occult very attractive to naive kids. Now, there are four Twilight books written by Stephanie Meyer, a Mormon, and there will be four films. One was a year ago. The second one came out a month or so ago. The current film is called New Moon. It should raise huge red flags to hear Bella, the young girl star of the film and book, state, "I don't care about my soul." Her love for, all right, here we go. Her love for vampire Edward was far more important. I might not be doing this presentation had I not noted, as I did a year ago, some of the Christian outfits that are okaying this, because this is pure blatant occult, laced with occultism, laced with all sorts of other things. We're trying to keep this family friendly this hour so no one has to turn the radio off. But let me just read what an Australian newspaper says about the new film, New Moon, at the Twilight Saga, New Moon. And we're going to explain, for those of you, you may not have kids or grandkids, you don't watch the movies, you might not understand what this phenomenon is. We're going to explain all that. So the movie spokesman in Australia say this: nothing could have prepared us for this Twilight phenomenon, which has resulted in record-breaking advanced ticket sales, surpassing Harry Potter. BBC Queensland promotion manager Susan So-and-so said, never before have we seen a film with such a large, diverse, loyal, and almost obsessive following. That term is hugely important, obsessive following. Twilight fan Caitlin Stower, 15, said she was losing sleep from excitement. I couldn't go to the midnight session because I have school on Thursday, but I'm going with another diehard fan on Thursday night. I can't wait. Twilight hysteria is also being blamed for a plethora of clans appearing in Australia, and by the way, the US, Canada, and other places as well, who once a month meet across Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria to conduct vampire rituals. Okay, I said I wouldn't apologize, so I'm not going to apologize. You told me last year, don't do that. All right, we're real. This is someone from one of these so-called covens, or they kind of go by another name, but anyway, somebody who participates in this says, quote, we're real, we're alive, we live and work in cities, we hold jobs, we're your next door neighbor, we have families, but we just have a different lifestyle. Well, it's a pretty sick lifestyle. It's pretty anti-biblical, it's pretty dangerous, and it's luring kids, and it's luring Christian kids. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do this if it weren't luring Christian kids. I wouldn't do this hour if Christianity Today magazine, and I'll hit that eventually, it didn't have sort of a Bible study related to surrounding the Twilight phenomenon with scripture verses. I'll get to that in a minute. I wouldn't be doing this if just the everyday normal culture, which we know is tanking, but when the Christian culture starts tanking, as it did, probably a long time ago, but then it was fueled by Harry Potter and other things. So faced with spiritual confusion and biblical illiteracy, please remember those two terms, spiritual confusion and biblical illiteracy, thanks in part to some dysfunctional churches, not all churches, pastors who stand for truth. God bless you. But faced with spiritual confusion and biblical illiteracy, is it any wonder that New Moon almost broke the record for an opening weekend at the box office in the U.S. and Canada? You see, if Jesus is Lord of your life, he is Lord of your entertainment choices as well. Now, here's what Ted Baer, movie reviewer, says about all this. I do respect this man. He's monitoring an industry that is somewhat corrupt and, of course, living only for the almighty dollar. And Ted Baer is a very good counter. He's very solid. He's highly credible. And he says this: the United States and Western Europe are on the edge of a cultural collapse brought about to a large degree by the mass media of entertainment. Along with, now I said earlier, churches, colleges, and seminaries, and he throws in an excellent point. He says, U.S., Western Europe are on the verge of cultural collapse brought about to a large degree by the mass media of entertainment, along with the public schools and other institutions of mass cultural destruction. Wrong entertainment has wrong consequences. That's the message. it can have wrong eternal consequences. The star of the film, and we'll explain the film for those of you who aren't film friendly, the star of the film, Bella, says she doesn't care about her soul. She wants Edward far, far more than she wants her soul. Twilight, in a nutshell, it's a story of love, lust, vampires, werewolves, good, evil, immortality. And my position is, and because here's the comeback. Here's the comeback from parents, from youth leaders, Christian youth leaders, from all sorts of people. Here's the comeback. What's the problem? It's just fiction. Well, fiction fuels reality. What about vampirism? Believe it or not, just as sorcery shows have fueled interest in Wicca, potions, covens, and just like ghostly movies are motivating millions to seek interactive conversations with deceased relatives, even so, the Twilight saga is sparking real interest in real vampirism, and we'll explain that in just a minute. Here's my bottom line. Here's my conclusion. I'm going to bring on my guest now here in just a moment. This is a blood battle. Satan is trying to lead people to the wrong blood. The devil takes good qualities and puts them in an evil character or characters. And forbidden truth tastes very good. Okay. For the rest of the program, I want to talk to Steve Wahlberg. He's speaker, director of Weiss Horse Media. He's a television producer, radio host, and the author of 23 books. He's been a guest on over 500 radio and television programs. He's spoken by special invitation inside the Pentagon, the U.S. Senate, in the fall of 2009. As a matter of fact, quite recently, Wahlberg was featured on two History Channel documentaries. We'll give his website and a booklet you can buy to hand out to people who want to see this. We'll give that in just a moment. Steve Wahlberg, welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times Radio.
Yes, Jan, thank you so much for having me on your program. And if you don't mind, I just would like to share a hunch that I have, and that is that your listeners will probably support you just like they did before, that this is a very relevant subject for families to talk about.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. It's just that, particularly at this time of year, it's unfortunate we have to talk about some of this. But we do, because this film is fairly new. The book series is going to go on forever. Steve Wahlberg, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I'm an author. I've written 23 books, and some of the things that I write about have to do with mass cultural phenomena that are affecting young people. And it was just about a year ago that I became aware of how big Twilight was, especially when the first movie came out. Mm-hmm. And I've written about Harry Potter, and now I've written about this whole subject because I'm concerned about kids. And when I see teenagers all across the country that are just mesmerized by these movies and these books, and I know what I know about the occult and the dangers of the occult, and I'm a Christian. I'm a husband and a father of two little children. The Holy Spirit just prompts me at different times to write about different subjects, and this is one of them.
Well, I think some people, Steve, are stunned that such a thing as vampirism exists. And I'm stunned, and I'm aware of the powers of the occult, and I think that the enemy has pulled off a brilliant move here by playing up on issues related to the blood, as I said a minute ago. And to the Christian, of course, this is very, very sacred, the blood of Jesus. But Edward, the heavy in the program, in the movie, the star, along with Bella, quite frankly, folks, he's a member of a coven. He has psychic abilities. He has supernatural powers. We have praise. Here we go. This is important. We have praise for a better form of evil versus absolute evil. And the same thought process as it concerns Harry Potter. Better evil defeats absolute evil. The devil takes good qualities and puts them in an evil character. Edward and his family are the good vampires. So, Steve Wahlberg, the pathway was paved the way by Harry Potter.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, Harry Potter, the controversy surrounding Harry Potter was a lot more public because Harry was a boy that goes to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. He takes classes on potions and spells. And there's just a lot more blatant references to occult activity. Now, Twilight has similar dangers, but it's a lot milder when it comes to just what you see on the surface. And so I think Twilight has snuck under the radar mm-hmm. of a lot of the watchdogs because, as they say, you know, it is just fiction. People use that argument. And because it's very, in spite of the occultism that is there and that is very dangerous, it's a lot more sanitized than Harry Potter. It's a lot more subtle. And it's a lot cleaner as well when it comes to occultism because it's just, you know, it's not as overt. But it is there, as you mentioned, Edward Cullen. He's a member of the Cullen family, and they are they're all members of what they call the Olympic Coven. So, you know, they're coven members. And there's other things that go on, like shape-shifting, where men turn into werewolves and back. And these are occult activities. And then the supernatural powers that Edward has. And the vampirism itself, even though he's, quote, a vegetarian vampire, which means he avoids the blood of humans, but he still goes after animals. And so there's still a lot that's in there. And as you referred to a little while ago, in the New Moon movie, Bella makes a statement where she says that I don't care about my soul. She wants to be with Edward no matter what. And so I see dangers in occultism and dangers in just her philosophy that, you know, just doesn't take into consideration the importance of her soul. And that's not a message that our kids need today.
All right. Well, again, movie reviewer Ted Baer says this, thus the good vampires in the movie are constantly trying to overcome their lust, often succeeding but sometimes failing. On the other hand, the movie's heroine decides she wants to risk the possibility again of losing her soul by becoming a vampire so she can be with the vampires she loves. Now, Jesus Christ is very clear about the real spiritual dangers in this second message. Obviously, when he says in that classic verse, Mark 8:36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or we could say, what good is it for Bella to gain Edward and yet forfeit her own soul?
That's right. That's exactly right. And the cover of the first Twilight book shows two tempting hands holding forbidden fruit.
Thank you for
bringing
that. And
right after the table of contents of the first Twilight book, there's it's called the epitaph. There's a scripture that just comes right in. It's there by itself on a page from Genesis 2:17, and it says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And what happens in Twilight is the message is woven throughout the series that Edward, the vampire, represents forbidden fruit, and that Bella's willingness to sacrifice everything to be in the relationship represents her eating of the forbidden fruit. And Stephanie Meyer doesn't really think that's a problem because she's a Mormon. And in Mormon theology, they believe in Mormonism that Adam and Eve's eating of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, the forbidden fruit, was actually a good thing. It was really the will of God because that's how their characters would develop through conflict with evil in the history of humanity. And that is a false message. And Stephanie Meyer has woven this message into her book. And the bottom line message is that you can find happiness through eating forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous. That is the serpent's philosophy ever since the beginning.
Let me give some contact information here. Again, I'm talking to Steve Wahlberg, White Horse Media. I've been on about 500 radio and television programs, and is very respected in his area of offering commentary on things that we're talking about today. His website is avoidtwilight.com, avoidtwilight.com. Now, Steve, you've written a little booklet, and by the way, Olive Tree Ministries carries it. It's on my website, and it's called The Darkness of Twilight, Hidden Perils Behind Today's Vampire Craze. You can order these from Steve or from my website. You can go to avoidtwilight.com or olivetreeviews.org and go to products. We're offering this booklet. It is designed for parents, grandparents, concerned friends, youth pastors. You can buy one for $1.50 or 10 for $10. And if you want more, just call my office and we can send you more. It's a little booklet. It's kind of a little pamphlet that sends out all the kinds of warnings that are necessary for people who... Steve, why... I mean, I kind of have an answer, but I still want you to elaborate it to my audience. This is so obvious, and we can see the cultural breakdown as people become more and more blind. But why on earth would, and folks, I'm going to cite Christianity Today in just a minute and how they're promoting a biblical sort of a Bible study based around this film. Why have Christians fallen for something where we actually indirectly pollute the sacred blood of Jesus Christ?
Well, I think that the reason is the same reason that Eve fell for the lies of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Satan is very subtle, and a lot of people just don't have spiritual discernment. And they think that, you know, hey, a lot of people are reading Twilight, and there's some good in Twilight, so why don't we try to use it for the Lord and take the good qualities that are in Edward and promote them as things that Christians need. And really, when you go to the book of Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the Laodicean church, mm-hmm. the last church, the lukewarm church, and one of the characteristics of that church is that it's blind. And Jesus offers spiritual eyesight. He said, anoint your eyes with eyesight, with eyesight salve that you may see. And I just think we're dealing with the basic lack of spiritual discernment, and that's what's leading many Christians to endorse this series.
Why don't you elaborate how this Stephanie Meyer came about to write this book? I believe you have it on your website, and she says she woke up back in June, she doesn't give which year, from a vivid dream. In my dream, two people were having an intense conversation in a meadow in the woods. Why didn't you take it from there?
Yes, you know, this is a very important point, that the entire Twilight series originated in a dream. Stephanie Meyer went to bed June 1, 2003. During the night, she had this dream of this sparkling boy who was a vampire and a normal teenage girl, and they were having a conversation in a meadow discussing their relationship, and various things happened after that. And when she woke up from her dream, she felt this compulsion. She actually heard voices in her head that would not shut up. That's exactly what she said. They would not shut up. And these voices compelled her obsessively to begin writing out the contents of this dream. And that's how Twilight originated. And after the first book was written, Stephanie Meyer had a second dream where the vampire character, Edward, appeared to her again, almost like a ghost. And he appeared and he terrified her. He clarified some things that she got wrong in the script that she wrote. And he just, you know, made her very frightened. And she wrote this, and this is right on her some of her published statements. And so when you look at this phenomena, you know, these two dreams and her being terrified by this spirit, these are not good signs of heavenly inspiration at all. And when you look at the storyline, it's got all this occultism in it. And I think there's some real parallels between the way Mrs. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series, mm-hmm. Got her series as compared to the way Stephanie Meyer did. Mrs. Rowling also had sort of a revelation. It wasn't a dream, but she was on a train outside of London, and this character of Harry Potter just popped into her mind out of nowhere like a revelation. and both women were not accomplished writers. Both women were not wealthy. Both women received storylines that are laden with occultism, and now both women are extremely rich, and their books are being read by young people all around the world. And I ask any Christian, you know, is that, does that sound like the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Or does it sound like the devil?
Yeah, she says all the time, Bella and Edward were quite literally voices in my head. They simply wouldn't shut up. I'd stay up as late as I could stand trying to get all the stuff in my head typed out and then crawl exhausted into my bed, only to have another conversation start in my head. I hated to lose anything by forgetting, so I'd get up and head back down to the computer. So, you know, automatic writing, we don't know. It's certainly possible because she's clearly motivated here by some demonic activity and unfortunately extremely successful at it. Now, let's just quickly cover the various titles. We have some people who are listening who, frankly, I'm not a movie follower. However, things like this I pick up on real quickly, but some don't. So the titles of the four books are Twilight, Book 1, New Moon, Book 2, Eclipse, Book 3, Breaking Dawn, Book 4, and because each novel shot off the press as an immediate bestseller, apparently, the first three sat number one on the New York Times bestseller list, folks, for 137 weeks. This just from an average homemaker who is a Mormon. And so Summit Entertainment took a chance and made book one into a movie. This one would have been a year ago. Now we have the second one out. And the Stephanie Meyer's clearly catapulted to a global stardom. She's been dubbed as the new queen of fantasy, whose vampire romance have become the juggernaut of this generation. Well, folks, the Bible speaks a whole lot about culture decline. Steve, we need a real short answer, about a minute answer here. I mean, how do you compare Harry Potter with this series here? Because it hasn't sold the number that Potter has sold. I'm not sure it's... I think it's on the verge of being a competitor. I need a short answer.
Yes, it is a competitor. The kids today, they're into Twilight, are equally into it as they were into Harry Potter. And there's a lot of parallels. In Potter, you've got the good wizards versus the bad wizards. And in Twilight, it's the good vampires versus the bad vampires. And there's a lot of parallels.
Yeah, and they're fiercely loyal to their clan. And they often act unselfishly. And above all, they're tantalizingly supernatural, because here, just like in Potter, we've got supernatural powers going on. Edward reads minds. This is the lead character. He reads minds. He climbs trees like a, quite frankly, like a Spider-Man. He exhibits superhuman strength that he often uses to protect Bella. Now, what I want to do, I still want to hit when we come back, I want to hit what Christianity Today is doing about this production. That is on their movie review page. And I'm not even going to accuse them of promoting the film on their movie review page. I'm not so sure they're denouncing it, but it's still pretty shocking when they come up with discussion and Bible study questions surrounding it, that you can hold small groups and discuss this. And folks, let me just make a couple of announcements here. And that is, we have more and more of you becoming a CD subscribers to this program, literally all around the world. Starting January 1, we're dropping the price to $25 a month for your CD subscription. You get two CDs a week of Understanding the Times Radio. Some of you are calling and asking for my print journal, Understanding the Times. It's free. If you're not in my database and you're a radio listener, give my office a call. You can call today. You can call right now or Monday through Friday, 763-493-3010. We will send you the journal plus a free $20 DVD. That's 763-493-3010. And if you'd like to contact us by mail, It's Box 1452, Box 1452, Maple Grove, two words, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Back in just a couple of minutes.
A reminder to Radio Archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener-supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Continuing on with part two of this particular hour, a couple more announcements. We need to return to our guest, Steve Wahlberg. By the way, so many of our outlets are receiving this in half-hour or one-hour segments instead of two. Therefore, if you would like to visit my website, Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, all programming from the weekend is posted there the full 2 hours, late Sunday, olivetreeviews.org, and go to Radio Archives, 5 years of radio programming posted there. Now, a couple of station announcements, and I probably won't make them after this weekend. A new station in Los Angeles, KKLA FM 99.5, the Talk of Los Angeles, and that is Sunday evening, 8 to 10 p.m. And then our good friends, and I love hearing from you out there in rainy Seattle, Tacoma. You've been so kind to us, and we've moved the time of the broadcast in the Seattle, Tacoma, AM 820 KGNW to 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday morning, repeat 1 hour, Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. Let's move ahead with our discussion. And I basically open by saying that the United States and Western Europe are on the edge of cultural collapse brought about to a large degree by the mass media of entertainment, along with public schools, along with weakened churches, along with compromising colleges and seminaries. And they are encouraging, or at least allowing, wrong entertainment. And wrong entertainment has consequences, and is our message. It has eternal consequences if Christians, which they are doing, are going to compromise and buy into something as blatantly evil as the book and movie series called Twilight. The new movie out, New Moon, has absolutely, well, it's almost unprecedented. We'll see over time if it breaks some kind of a record. We don't know yet. The bottom line to all of this, because it is about, believe it or not, and I said this a year ago when I apologized, I said it's about vampirism. This is a blood battle. Satan is trying to lead people to the wrong blood. The devil takes good qualities, puts them in an evil character. The forbidden fruit tastes good. Therefore, we have people making choices that have, entertainment choices that have eternal consequences, such as Bella saying in the book and the movie series, she doesn't care about her soul. She's only interested in Edward. Well, naive kids and even naive Christian kids flocking to this film hear something about this, doesn't care about her soul because her love for Edward is far more important. What do you think undiscerning, naive teenagers are going to make out of all of this? My guest this hour is Steve Wahlberg. He's director, speaker, White Horse Media, television producer, radio host, been on 500 radio TV programs, and he has spoken by special invitation inside the Pentagon, the U.S. Senate. In the fall of 2009, Wahlberg was featured on two History Channel documentaries. His website is avoidtwilight.com, avoidtwilight.com. A ton of information there. We offer his booklet, The Darkness of Twilight, Hidden Perils Behind Today's Vampire Craze. And you can get one for $1.50. You can get them in big quantities for a lower price, $1 a piece. And if you would just go through my website, Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint.org, or if you and go to products, or if you want to call and order it by phone, 763-493-3010. Particularly good for parents, grandparents, and youth leaders who may be a little bit confused on the issue. And by the way, I'm not castigating all youth workers, because many of them would never, ever condone such a thing. Steve Wahlberg, let's go back to, actually, we haven't visited yet, and I need to hit Christianity Today in a minute. But Fox News Channel featured a special report on Hannity's America fairly recently, calling night neighbors, members of America's vampire subculture, could be living right under your nose. And after a brief history lesson about Dracula, you know, I thought all this ended with Dracula. As a little kid, I used to love to stay up very late and watch the old movies from the 30s and the 40s about Count Dracula. Steve, I never had any kind of a clue that this would come in to the contemporary culture. Well, even Sean Hannity picked up on it. Tell us what he had to do.
Yes, well, he referred to the fact that there are real vampire communities that are springing up across the country. And it wasn't just Sean Hannity. It was also ABC News, the Washington Times, and more recently, just about 2 weeks ago, ABC's 2020 did a similar story. And to me, it's a lot like Harry Potter. Again, we have the fiction track where Harry Potter is fiction, but then we also have the reality track where kids are getting into Wicca and witchcraft and covens and spells and potions. It's becoming very, very popular. And it's the same thing with Twilight. There's the fiction track, and then there's the reality track. And the fiction is fueling the reality. Vampirism is on the rise. And it's just a fact. And the reality is, Jan, and this is the scary thing in this generation, that it's very easy to go from a book to a movie to the internet to websites, chat rooms, etc., where these things are being explored, and young people are doing it. They are doing it, and it's very dangerous. They can easily get sucked in to the occult through Twilight because it's a very pleasant gateway to occultism. And my concern as a Christian and as an author is for this generation of young people that are just being slowly tempted and drawn in to a world that is very, very dangerous, and we should stay away from it. And Satan knows all about it. He knows what he's doing. And as you've mentioned, we are in a battle between God and the devil. And let me clarify something. My little book, The Darkness of Twilight, that is designed for sharing, it's very inexpensive. People can buy it 25 at a time, 100 at a time, etc., and give them out. The book is not a dark book. It's very credible. It's very informative. And then it points to Jesus. It points to his love. It points to the greater love story. Above that of Bella and Edward, it points to the Father and the Son, and the sacrifice that Jesus made and the shedding of his blood. And it's designed to be a wake-up call, mm-hmm. and to appeal to people's hearts and to draw teenagers to Jesus and to the gospel. That's what our passion is all about. So that's why we wrote the book. That's why I wrote it, to share Jesus and shed light into the darkness of this world.
All right, it's actually a booklet.
Yes, it's a booklet. It's just a little 32-page book that can fit in your pocket. We call it a pocket book. It's about 6,000 words, but it packs a powerful punch, and it's easy to share. And there's so many people that are into Twilight these days that to offer a little book to them could really be the doorway to their coming to Jesus Christ.
All right, you can order this at either avoidtwilight.com, or you can go to olivetreeministries.org. go to products. Our cost is, let's see, $1.50 a piece or 10 for $10. If you want to go above the quantity of 10, that's fine. Just call my office and we'll work it out for you. You can have as many as you want. If you want 100, we'll work out a price for you. If you want to hand them out to, let's say, students in your youth group or whoever you might. But let me go back to Sean Hannity here, because Hannity says, but vampires aren't just Tinseltown moneymakers. There's actually a vampire subculture, good for you, Sean, that exists in the United States right now and spreads into almost every community in this country. Surprisingly, Steve Wahlberg, he's got his facts straight.
Yeah, he does. And he's not just talking about what people call the gothic movement, sort of a fringe subculture. He's talking about doctors and lawyers and nurses and professionals. He interviewed a woman named Michelle Bellinger on his program, who is the author of numerous books. She's very involved with an organization of vampires that works with media and with law enforcement and tries to clarify what real, quote, vampires do and what they don't do. And, you know, they're trying to sanitize vampirism, just like the Wiccan community is trying to make Wicca look like white magic. Now you've got what we could call white vampirism. But the white leads to the dark very quickly. And it's just the whole trend is a very subtle, dangerous trend. And it's becoming more and more mainstream. And those that don't realize it just don't understand what's going on in our society.
You're hearing the voice of Steve Wahlberg. And avoidtwilight.com. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host. All right, let me quickly switch over here to Christianity Today. And I looked up their movie review page. And, you know, I mean, the review was, I'm not going to blast them for the review. It was middle of the road. However, at the end of the review, they sort of have discussion starters, which the implication is use these in a Bible study. Now, let me just read 3 points from what Christianity Today suggests some Christians do after they see Twilight. First of all, they really should be saying, hey, folks, red flags, purple flags, green flags, orange flags, you name it, stay away. But they say, okay, read Mark 7, Matthew 4, Romans 7, what do these verses say about our desire and temptations? How are Edward's attempts not to give in to his evil desires like the life of a Christian? In what ways does the movie show Edward setting boundaries, as Christians often do, to avoid temptation? Next point. Some say that Deuteronomy 12, which forbids eating blood, is reason enough Christians should avoid vampire stories and movies. Is that an appropriate application of this verse? Give me a break.
Yeah, you're right. It's crazy.
Why
it's
or why crazy. Not? Another point, what do you think of Bella's desire to become a vampire so she can be with Edward forever? Would it be worth it? Read Matthew 16:26. What about they should be saying, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and spending eternity with him? Sorry, folks. I'll go practice Christian yoga and get my blood pressure down. No, don't do it. Please don't do it. I can't quite control. When I see things like this, I just lose it.
It makes your blood boil, doesn't it?
Yeah, makes my blood boil. What do you think of Bella's desire to become a vampire so she can be with Edward forever? Would it be worth it? Read Matthew 16:26. All right. Steve, help my audience understand. For that matter, you can help me understand. What are these modern-day vampire cults all about, and how did this happen?
Well, we're talking about two things. We're talking about the Christian problem with Christianity Today, and then we're talking about the reality of vampirism.
Yep.
When it comes to vampirism, I mean, you know, we don't want to go into details like we've discussed off air, you and me. Ephesians chapter 5 says there's certain things that we shouldn't even speak about because they're just they're so gross that Christians shouldn't even focus on them. But the reality is that, and the Bible speaks of this as well in Leviticus chapter 19, it talks about ingesting blood, and then it connects the pagan practice of doing this with occultism. And so the link is there, and it's been going on for a long time, and vampirism is an occult practice. And, you know, it sounds very, very bizarre to me because right. I have no inclinations in that direction at all. But,
you don't,
but the reality
Steve,
is that people can, you know, they can become addicted. The fascination
yeah.
for blood can lead to an addiction for blood. And in the past, and even today, there are people that have actually committed murder, and they've been executed. There are cases of this who have had a blood lust. And this is something that Christians should just entirely avoid and stay away from. And I hope that, I wish that Christianity today would quote Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is
yep.
good, whatever is noble, whatever is of a good report, think about these things. And that's not a verse that can be woven into a pro-Twilight article. It's a verse that you can use, that should be used, and that we use to lead people to avoid the series entirely. Eve should never have been at that tree. She never should have dialogued with the serpent. Her first mistake was answering the serpent and getting into a conversation with it. Satan is too subtle. Once you get into a conversation with the devil, you're on very dangerous ground, and you're probably going to fall. And we should just look at Twilight and say, stay away from it, don't touch the forbidden fruit, don't dialogue with it, avoid it. Our ministry, White Horse Media, we also, many times, we sell a book called Pilgrim's Progress, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic work written by John Bunyan. It also is fiction. It's an allegory. But the lessons that are within the Pilgrim's Progress are all about walking the narrow road, obedience, humility, repentance, faith in Christ, resisting the devil, etc. And these lessons are not in Twilight.
Let me go to, I believe it's New Moon, and that's the second book. Here, let me just indicate what's on some pages, folks. And this is the deception of the devil. This is the counterfeit of the devil, who's working in extreme overtime today. Bella deceives her friends and her father, with whom she lives, to be with Edward. She gets quite good at lying and covering up, and even proud of it. Edward becomes her reason for living. In fact, her family and her human friends pale in comparison to the pale divine Edward, who has unbearable beauty, page 289. Even to an excruciating degree, page 227. I'm skipping down. Edward has an angel's face, page 262. He has a gentle angel's smile, page 340. He has an exquisite face, page 459. Edward is the beautiful one, the godlike one, page 357. Bella cannot imagine how an angel could be any more glorious, page 241. And she finds herself so captivated by him that she cannot move. His golden eyes mesmerize me, page 226. Sounds to me like she's describing the devil or one of his angels.
Yeah, well, there's a verse in Corinthians that says that Satan transforms himself
yeah.
into an angel of light. And that's exactly what's happening in Twilight. Edward is portrayed, as you've mentioned, all those different statements in the book, as just being this beautiful, glorious being, and yet she is intoxicated. I've read the first Twilight book, and the word intoxication, she says she's intoxicated by him, by his breath. She's mesmerized. She knows that he's dangerous. She said, it's dangerously easy for me to choose to be with him. And so there's just so many things, and even within the Twilight saga, Bella compromises her principles to be with him, and Edward compromises his principles to be with her. He knows he's not good for her, that the whole vampirism thing shouldn't be something that she's involved with, but he gives that up anyway as far as his quote-unquote morality, and he says, I can't resist anymore, I'm going to be with you. And in the first book, he actually says, if I'm going to hell, I might as well go all the way. And so both of them, just from a relational standpoint, they both compromise principles to be with each other. They are both intoxicated by each other. As you've mentioned, Bella is willing to sacrifice her soul. The whole thing is unhealthy. And then apart from that, the occultism just makes it even more dangerous. And when people say it's just fiction, they don't understand the power of fiction. Fiction affects people's lives. It influences their thinking and their behavior, and Satan knows that full well, and God is calling his people in these days before Jesus returns to focus on wholesome entertainment and to stay out of the snares of the devil entirely and to focus on Jesus Christ.
Well, in all that we do, I think we should ask the question to my audience here, is what I am doing glorifying to the Lord? This must be our standard with every book we read, with every movie we watch, every activity we do, every conversation we have. Are we going to be a stumbling block? Are we going to let our teenagers run off to this, the Christian teenagers, run off to this movie and therefore maybe bring the entire youth group off to the movie? Can you quiet the dog? He's being heard all over the world, Steve. He's now famous. I don't know what his name is. We must continue to be light. We must continue to be light in a very, very dark and dying world. We're down to a minute or two.
Yes, you were referring to the name of the actor, Edward. Is that what you were asking?
I'm just saying we must be light and dark in a dying world, no matter what.
That's our calling as Christians. We are called to do this. Robert Pattinson is the actor who plays Edward. He's admitted that there is a power in the Twilight books that is affecting him himself.
Okay.
And the two of them, Edward and Bella, you know, people say, hey, in Twilight, they don't have any relations until after they get married. But in their real life, the kids that are following Twilight, you know, they're watching their real lives, too. And Edward and, I mean, Robert and Kristen Stewart, who play the boy and the girl, they're living together in Vancouver, and they're not living that kind of moral life
right. Anyway.
And so the whole thing is very seedy, and Christians should be a light. The Bible says that we're not in darkness, but that we should be the light of the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And how can Christians be the light of the world if we're embracing the darkness? We need to take a stand against this. That's what we've done in the little book, The Darkness of Twilight. And we're doing the best we can to try to help people. I've been on all kinds of shows, and some of the hosts that I've been with, they're far liberal and they just don't see it, but a lot of the shows like this one and others I've been on, the hosts completely understand, and the callers call in and say thank you for taking a stand in this area and providing a resource that we can share with our young people.
Yeah, I think
and
some,
that's our passion.
Yeah, some hosts have been downright hostile to you, I think. Is that correct?
That's right, yes, because they're just liberal and they don't see any danger in this at all. I've been on over a dozen shows in the last few weeks, and I've also been on with Kirby Anderson with In Point of View, which is a great show, national show, and also with Chuck and Larry Bates, and we're all on the same page that this is a dangerous trend in our society, and it's time for Christians to take a stand.
Steve Ahlberg, thank you for your doing. AvoidTwilight.com. I got to go because you got competition in the background. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much, Jan. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program, and may God use it to bring people to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, well, those are little... I got pets, too, but mine don't bark. Mine meow. Got two new ones. Elijah's a left-wing terrorist, and Noah's a right-wing terrorist. So, anyway, pray for Elijah. He had major surgeries this week, and he's not a happy camper. Okay, we are coming back at the top of the hour, changing topics considerably, and we hope to bring you some very good news at the top of the hour. If you will stay tuned, all stations replay these programs. Home station AM 980 replays them Sunday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. You can always listen live, kkms.com. We headquarter out of AM 980 KKMS, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m., Sunday, 12 to 2 p.m. Back in just a couple of minutes.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You can write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010. You also can order and donate safely online at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.